Last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the events that have happened before and during and after Christ's arrest and crucifixion. We've not been concentrating on just one of the gospel accounts. You know, there's four gospels, and they all have different accounts of what happened during this time. What happened at the crucifixion was devastating to the disciples who had followed Jesus for several years. Their hopes and their expectations of what was going to happen were dashed when he was killed. They said, "We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Now what?" Had they wasted a couple of years of their lives by following Jesus? I'm sure they thought that. And now there was reports that Jesus was alive again, had risen from the dead, and had appeared to different ones of them. All of them were wondering, where do we go from here? In Matthew and Mark, there's one of the first answers to that question. In Matthew, when the women saw Jesus just briefly after they went to the tomb and he appeared to them, he told them to go and tell my disciples that I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Mark also has that account. So the first thing that they were supposed to do, the first place they were supposed to go to was in Galilee. And if you know the geography of Israel, Israel is a long, narrow country. Galilee is in the north. Jerusalem is in the south half of the country. And Galilee was where Jesus grew up. Galilee was where most of the disciples came from. And Galilee was the wrong side of the tracks. They said when they encountered Jesus, "No prophet comes from Galilee. You gotta know that." So one of the first places that Jesus wanted them to go to after his resurrection was Galilee. But even before they got there, he met them. Last Sunday, we talked about Peter and an experience that happened by the Lake of Galilee, and how he was actually reinstated. He had denied Jesus three times, and on this particular occasion, after they had gone out all night and fished and caught nothing, Jesus tells them to go and cast on the right side of the boat, and they fished, and they got all these fish, and then they realized that it was the Lord that was on the shore, and he had a fire there with some fish on it, and some bread, and invited them to come and share breakfast. And he also asked them to get some of the fish that they had caught, and Peter ran back to the boat and got these fish. This week, we were listening to something that, another significant detail. You know, there's all these details that are mentioned in the scriptures, and some of you figure, why would you mention that, right? Well, this fire of coals that is mentioned, where Jesus was now cooking some fish for these disciples after having fished all night and being plenty hungry and ready to eat, I'm sure. It's significant because it was at a fire of coals where Peter denied Jesus three times. So isn't that interesting or significant that this fire by which Peter was warming himself, a fire of coals, it says, in the courts of the high priest's house where he was warming himself, there Peter denied Jesus three times. And now he gets an opportunity to declare his love and his allegiance to Jesus three times beside a fire of coals. Now, it's just an interesting detail, but I don't think insignificant. So the first place they were asked to go to was to Galilee, the first hint of where to go. Secondly, during the story that we just talked about where Peter was reinstated, his given his assignment, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, Jesus also indicated to him what kind of a death he was going to die, and that in order to glorify God. And when he, after he tells them this, Jesus tells Peter, follow me. And again, that's significant because this is exactly where Jesus had first asked Peter to follow him, was beside the lake. They had been fishing. There was another big catch of fish. And this time, Peter was so astonished. He said, get away from me, Lord. I'm not worthy of you. I'm a sinful person. And then Jesus had said to him, follow me. Now here they had another catch of fish. And Peter is reinstated and given again his responsibility, which had been, you're going to become a fisher of men, not just fishing for fish. And Jesus is saying, follow me. But we all know that Jesus was going to leave, right? Jesus wasn't going to stay there. And yet, Jesus is asking Peter, follow me. And I think of what Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he says to his disciples, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And then Thomas answers, well, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And what did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way to the Father. So while Jesus is telling Peter to follow him once again, Jesus is about to leave. So there's something that we need to come back to in that particular situation. The third indication of where to go, what should we be doing now, where should we go, is in Matthew chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission. I'll read that. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So go to Galilee, follow me. And now he's saying, go. All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. That's the ends of the earth. That's everywhere. Mark 16, the passage that Denise read. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In other words, all creatures, all mankind. And in Matthew, it talks about baptizing them, making disciples. It doesn't talk about convincing them to become followers of Jesus or believers, but it talks about them preaching the good news to them. Make disciples of all nations. Two ways of making disciples: baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. Mark adds, those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. Going on to the Gospel of Luke, the end of the book of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 44. He's with them in the upper room, and they had the door locked, and he came in and spoke to them and scared them, first of all, because they thought he was a ghost. Then he asked them if they had anything to eat, and they had some fish that they gave him. So he said to them, This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. So there's another understanding of what it means to make disciples. First of all, preaching in his name, preaching the name of Jesus, repentance and forgiveness in his name. So believing in Jesus means to believe who he is, what he's come to do, and that we have a problem being separated from God, and that problem is our sin. And so that sin needs to be repented of, turned away from, and we will be forgiven. And that's what they needed to preach to all nations, that what they needed to go to do. Luke talks about the Messiah. It says, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The Messiah, of course, was the coming one, the anointed one, that one that was going to come and change things in this world and turn everything around, get rid of everything that was bad and establish the kingdom of the righteous kingdom of God. It's interesting that the Messiah is still expected by many people. In fact, all the fish that went from the fish farm to New York City goes to Jewish people who still are expecting their Messiah. According to the scriptures, and Jesus opened their minds to understand this, he was the Messiah, and everything that the scriptures predicted about him happened to him. And yet, Passover is happening this Saturday, and many people around the world are still expecting their Messiah. In fact, what's one thing that they say at the Passover? Next year in Jerusalem. I think they always expect that it could be next year that the Messiah will return and come to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. So according to Jesus, the Messiah has come, and we preach repentance and forgiveness in his name. And yet there are many in our world that are still expecting this Messiah. To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So here it's a little more specific. Beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and you, because what's a witness? A witness has seen and heard something, right? And so you are required now to tell what you have seen and heard. Of course, these guys were first-hand witnesses to the actual physical presence of Jesus and what he had said and done. Finally, in John, where to from here is answered by what we've already said, follow me, Peter says to follow him. But John also was a witness and wrote things down. So this is another witness. And in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So one of the witnesses wrote things down. Many of the witnesses to God's story and Jesus' life and actions were written down in this book. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So witnesses are supposed to tell, go and tell what they have seen and heard, including what we read. And many people are actually convinced by this witness, the witness of the scriptures. In Acts chapter 1, there's a much more detailed description of where to from here. And I'm going to read that. Luke Dr. Luke is the writer of this book, the author. He starts this way. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the first instruction was to go to Galilee, where they were going to meet Jesus. Second instruction about where to from here was, continue following me, just follow me. The third one, you're going to the nations, you're going to the ends of the earth. And then another account says, just a little more specifically, you're going to start in Jerusalem. But now here's one more advisory, and it is wait. Wait. Before you do this, you need to have something happen to you that's going to allow you to be effective in going to not only Jerusalem, which is our local area, Judea, which is a little bit of a bigger picture, maybe that's our province, Samaria, the people on the wrong side of the tracks, I don't know what that means, but Samaria was people that they despised, and to the ends of the earth. Wait, stay. And we realize that this understanding of someone other than the physical presence of Jesus was going to be with them. What did Jesus say in the first Matthew account? "I'm going to be with you to the ends of the earth. I will be with you always." How can Jesus be with us? Always. It's his Spirit who he would send. In Mark, the account that Denise read, the verses conclude with, "The Lord worked with them, confirming his word." This was after Jesus had ascended into heaven and was sitting down at the right hand of God, according to that passage. And then they went out and they preached this good news, and the Lord worked with them. How did he work with them? Through this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, and confirmed his word by the signs that followed them. Luke also says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay here till you are clothed with power." This is an assignment, and it's a huge assignment, and don't try to do it without the power that I want to give you. And we know that when Jesus told Peter again to follow me, it wasn't going to be Jesus' physical presence that he was going to follow. He was going to follow and be led by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. Again, we're not required to make believers, but Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. It's Jesus who does this. It's his Spirit who does this. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses because of this power." So in conclusion, this understanding of being baptized in the Spirit, the understanding of baptism means to be plunged, to be filled, to be poured over and anointed. It's such a drastic picture, this picture of baptism. It's so radical. In that when you get baptized, it's like the old you is dying, the new you is raised to life. You are raised to new life. You are truly born again. You get to start all over again. Jesus has met most of you here. You have met Jesus personally. It's like you can't go back to what things were like, what you were like before. He's touched you. He's touched you deeply. He's touched me deeply. He has changed me. Absolutely changed. I'll never be the same. All the disciples felt this. He's touched me. He's changed me. But now he's asking me to do something that I can't imagine doing, going to the nations to spread this good news. I always think of those three words that were, I think I've talked about this before, the three words on the pillars in the church, in our church in Kelowna: touched, changed, and consumed. I've been touched, no doubt about it. I've been changed, absolutely changed. I'm spoiled for the world, but am I consumed with what God has asked me to do, with what Jesus has asked me to do? What consumes me? What would I live or die for? The next paycheck? The next weekend? Weekend party? The next vacation? Retirement? The work which I love? Not even my own family. Talk about an understanding of being consumed by this call on our lives. So before anything else, before whatever God has called me or you to do, it's to speak this good news to those around us. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Where to from here? Wherever Jesus leads me, wherever he takes me. Whatever it takes. Disciples were radical and their occupations totally changed. Every one of them were called away from what they had been known to do to make a living and spent the rest of their lives preaching this good news all over and paid dearly for it with their lives, most of them. Something to think about and to pray about as God is continuing to remind us we're not here by accident. We have all met Jesus, and he has touched us and changed us, and he's given us something to talk about. We are witnesses to what he has done and what he is doing. And so again, we need the Holy Spirit to consume us, to empower us to do what he's asked us to do. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're so conscious of your call on our lives in regards to telling the good news, being witnesses to what you have done in us and in others, this amazing power to change us, to convince us, to redeem us, to change our hearts and our minds. So, Lord, we open ourselves up once again to you today. We want to wait for your empowering, for the power of the Spirit to control us, to do in and through us what we cannot do on our own. This incredible assignment to bring the good news to the world. We pray that even in our own midst, in our own circles, in our own families, our own town and communities, that we would be faithful in being witnesses to what you have done and what you want to do. And someday, Lord, to actually go to be with you and rejoice with you at all those that you have brought to yourself, even through our witness. So God, we just make ourselves available once again to you today to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.